This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I'm your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, lead singer in the rock musical group Biptunia, which you should check out at biptunia.com. .com or .org. I have so many domains, I can't even remember. I think it's .com. Let me check. And you should go there to Biptunia. Yeah, it's .com. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Alpha, like me. Biptunia.com. Yep. Actually, I'm not an alpha. I'm not a beta. I'm a... I don't know what you call it. It's the other thing. It's like a delta. It's like a gamma. You know, it's like a... person that wants to be left alone but doesn't get pushed around. That's me. And that's not an alpha. Alphas push people around. Betas push people. Betas get pushed around. I'm the other thing. I think I've heard it called a gamma. I think it's Boston Tea Party called it a gamma, maybe. Whatever it was, he said it's a goal to be. But I think it's kind of what you're born with, one way or the other. I kind of go with the Pink Floyd animals theory of humanity. Of, you know, there's pigs, dogs, and sheep. And I don't know, though. That's all really dire. There's no what I'm talking about isn't in there. Maybe dogs, but not as mercenary. Dogs that care. Wild dogs that only eat when they have to. Only bite people when they want to eat. I don't know. So much has happened. I haven't been doing a lot of shows lately. I've been playing music with my rock musical group Biptunia. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, India, Alpha.com, Biptunia.com. It's not actually a group. It's two people. It's myself and my friend Phil Warmoth. You've heard, if you listen to the show, you've been on here. You've heard Phil Warmoth. And we're going to get to all the stuff with all the politics and all the people and all the talking monkeys on TV. That, you know, have noises coming out of their face, as Joe Rogan says. We're all just shaved apes. We're all just a couple chromosomes away from being apes. We really are. But life is glorious, and it's amazing that it exists. I don't know how it all got here. I mean, I guess I know the science of it. I believe the science of it, but what made that happen? And are we the only ones here? And are we broadcasting into Alpha Centauri, as I've been saying for, well, I actually started saying it before we were on radio because it was a goal, but I've been doing this show for 7 years now. Freedom Fiends, over 7 years. We started April Fool's Day, 2011. Nima Vedati and I started. Nima Vedati. I almost said Nima. So Nima Vedati and I started a long time ago. And then he started popping out babies. Well, he didn't. His wife did. But he, you know, he quit the show to do baby daddy stuff. He's still on very occasionally. He's just real busy. He's running his own business. Yeah, he was in the mainstream media and got out in about 2012 because it was so horrific to him to be, you know, to realize that he went to college and went into a bunch of debt to work at tertiary market television stations like Wyoming and rural Washington State, and realizing that he didn't really have a lot of leeway to tell any truth. And they didn't really censor in the sense of like, you can't do that. It's more like, you're just not going to get invited to be there for very long if you do stuff with truth. You know, because like, for instance, if you expose police corruption on the local news, unless it's something that can't be ignored, it harms the station. Because, you know, the police are the pillars of the community. And people want to know, old people who, you know, are scared by things and react, or young people. Everyone's scared now, except me. I'm really not, largely. And I'm probably more scared of spiders. No, I'm kidding. Of elks. You know, they blew up an elk in Wyoming recently. It was an elk that died out in the sticks somewhere and was a rotting carcass. And, you know, it was a health hazard for hikers going by. And moreover, attracted wolves. And there were hiking trails nearby. So they blew it up with like 100 pounds of dynamite or something. You know, I've seen a video of that. Search on YouTube for blowing up a whale. They do it with a whale on it wasn't good with the whale was so big. It was like, and they used like a ton of dynamite or something. The Army Corps of Engineers went out there and blew up a whale, and there were like, you know, 30-pound chunks of it landed a mile away and dented people's cars. Fortunately, no one was killed by flying whale blubber. Flying rotting whale blubber. See, they were trying to get rid of a biological nuisance, and instead they just spread it everywhere. That's the government for you. You know, that's a government solution right there. So, yeah. So Nima Vedati and I started this show in 2011, and then we got on radio in 2013. Been on radio for 5 years, and it's been good. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. No, I'm kidding. It's had its high points, but this is my long roundabout way of saying this show is no longer going to be on radio, and I'm not getting fired. I'm one of the few radio hosts that hasn't been censured or censored in any way. We've been able to yak about everything we want to. GCN has been really good to us. Genesis Communications Network. And no, it's just time for me to move on. I'm still going to do the Freedom Fiends as a podcast. So the first thing you should do right now, if you like this show, while you're hearing me yak, given my 2 weeks notice, is that you should go bookmark the Freedom Fiend site. You should Google freedom, you know, like what we all strive for and what the man tries to take away from you, and fiends, which is, it's kind of like fiend, but it's fiend. It's street speak, like, oh, that man's a straight up dope fiend, you know, fiend. It's how little kids say fiend. You know, we wanted to call the show Nima Vedati. Nima Vedati came up with the name. I like it, though. It's a good name. We're going to keep doing the show, but not regularly. It's just too much of a toll on me for too little return, and I've said everything I need to say. We've had, we're a really weird show, so it's hard to get advertisers. You know, we poke the leftist bear, but we also poke the right-wing bear, and we're not in the middle. We're, like, off the charts. We're not on that, you know. I mean, I think that, when it comes to drug legalization, I'm to the left of Nancy Pelosi. And when it comes to, you know, private rights, property rights, personal freedom, personal liberty, keep your own money, I'm to the right of Ronald Reagan, who wasn't really that far right, because he actually added gun laws, raised taxes, accidentally or through not paying attention, created the Taliban. That's kind of a long story. Look at go watch the movie Charlie Wilson's War, which is about an actual Democrat Texas scoundrel who was a Congress critter back in the early 80s, who worked with the blessings of Ronald Reagan's administration and probably Ronald Reagan to fund heat-seeking rocket-propelled grenades to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. It was basically an American proxy war, like the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was the U.S. fighting Russia and China, basically. And I think China sent some soldiers. I don't think Russia sent a lot of soldiers. I think they sent all the weapons. Yeah, Russia. The America got tricked into that one. Yeah, gotta fight communism. No, you're fighting Russia, and Russia's not fighting you. They're just sending guns and butter, as they say. But yeah, so there's a proxy war with Reagan. I don't know why Reagan is the pinnacle of conservatism, is what I'm saying. He talked a really good talk. He's part of the reason that Republicans claim to be small government now. And they're really not small government. They want a military that's much bigger than needed, always. They want to be in endless wars of empire. You know, the U.S. has stations in, military bases in over 4/5 of the countries in the world, you know, basically is an occupying force in most countries. And that was warned against by the founding fathers. And the reason that Reagan talked like that was because Barry Goldwater talked like that. Barry Goldwater was the great hope of the Republican Party, who reinvigorated the Republican Party around the time the Democrats were giving up their tacit racism and disavowing the KKK, who actually helped build the Democratic Party, the Southern Democrats, the Dixiecrats. But, around 1964, they made this kind of sea change where the Democrats became kind of like Republicans, and the Republicans became kind of like Democrats in a way. That's a vast, gross oversimplification. But there was this guy named Carl Hess. Sounds like a communist, doesn't it? No. Carl Hess was an anarchist, but not the bad kind, not the Antifa bomb-throwing kind. Although he was a gun runner at some point, but really that's just part of his colorful back past, which, you know, he was a writer and a very flamboyant writer, so who even knows whether that was all true or not. He was kind of he had a Hemingway gift for embellishment, I'm guessing, but probably did do some gun running before he ended up being the speechwriter for the presidential candidate, Barry Goldwater. And Carl Hess used to smoke hash and sit around writing speeches for Goldwater. Like, Goldwater believed what Hess believed and trusted him and was a true conservative. Goldwater was, he didn't meddle in things that weren't his business. Like, he didn't try to stop gay marriage. He didn't care what people did in their bedrooms. He didn't care what, you know, unmarried adults did in their bedrooms. He didn't care about, the Negroes smoking the reefer sticks, which was how they put it back then, the war, you know, the pre-war on drugs, war on drugs, the racial slurs that were created to help actually bring drugs everywhere. So when there's a war on drugs and you try to destroy drugs, you're actually invigorating drugs, because the more illegal you make them, the more there's going to be, because the more illegal you make them, the higher the profit capability is. And the more you're going to bring in really organized crime that can't be stopped. And if you cut off the head of a hydra like that, two or three more grow. So he was a true conservative, Barry Goldwater. And Carl Hess was his speechwriter. I mean, that quote that is commonly attributed to Goldwater, it's something along the lines of defense of freedom is not extremism. That thing, you've heard it, which is actually like, Carl Hess wrote it, but actually he borrowed it from Cicero and paraphrased it. And it's commonly, you know, on the internet, ascribed to Barry Goldwater. But he didn't write that. His hashish-smoking, gun-running, anarchist-without-adjective speechwriter, Carl Hess, wrote it. So Carl Hess wrote for Goldwater. Goldwater really believed these things, but he hired a more eloquent guy to write it for them, like they all do. You know, they're all just puppets, but in this case, it was actually a puppet with a talking head. Goldwater was a talking head with integrity, even though he had a guy helping out with his words. You know, he really believed the words. Most politicians don't. Most politicians do focus groups and spy on people's emails or pay consultants to do that, harvest data to figure out what they should say and how they should say it, you know, whereas Goldwater believed what he believed, but just let his hash-smoking guy write it for him. So that happened, and he did not win. Goldwater almost won. He came close, but he didn't win. And Reagan at that time was a Democrat. Reagan was an inveterate liberal Hollywood actor. And my theory is that they sent John Wayne over to Reagan's house and said, you know, they were very good friends, and John Wayne was very conservative. It was not just an act. And, you know, I'm imagining that they sent John Wayne over to Reagan's, apartment at that point. Probably was not in a mansion yet. He was kind of a B actor. Wasn't that. He was in a lot of movies. Probably didn't get paid that much. So, you know, I imagine they sent him over, and he said, well, partner, I can't do it. I can't do an imitation. But, you know, had the Duke talk to Ronnie and said, we've gotten together, my friends and I have gotten together in a smoke-filled room, and we've decided that we've got the greatest role of your lifetime, and I think you should take it. And that role was being the president of the United States and becoming flip-flopping from a leftist to a rightist in the process. And Reagan was very eloquent. He was very down-homey. He was soft-spoken when he needed to be. He could be hard when he needed to be. And people liked him, you know. Even Democrats liked him. Well, because he was a Democrat. Reagan was. In his heart of hearts. But, he's kind of remembered as the I don't want to say the Jesus of conservatism. I think that would be Jesus. But the pinnacle of conservatism. When, in fact, there are many more. You know, if you want to go minarchist, put on your minarchist hat and think there should be a government. Better people than Reagan. But yeah, he seems to be the acid test for conservatism. But he really wasn't. You know, he helped get America into endless wars. He helped increase the national budget a lot. He added gun laws, you know, after he got shot. I mean, I think really, a true conservative would get shot and say, I'm not changing gun laws, you know, and, you know, increase the war on drugs, which regardless of what you think about drugs, it's insane to spend that much money and destroy that many lives, far more lives than drugs destroy, to have what the founders warned against, which was a standing army, you know, not only a standing army, but really I'd say that having drug police violates the Third Amendment, the one that's never talked about, you know, the no quartering of soldiers in houses, except in time of war. Well, America's in endless war now with foreign nationals, with imaginary and real bugaboos, and with its own people, you know, in many ways, and likes to divide and conquer. But I sometimes wonder if there's any coming back from it. I mean, it's getting to the point where people are screaming at each other in the streets. People are killing each other. You know, I'll say one thing about this guy who shot up the synagogue. It's not good, first of all. I'm not down with it. I don't like the idea of innocents being slaughtered. I don't like the idea of collectivism, of punishing the whole class for the sins of the few, you know, if that's what that guy thought. I think, though, that if you keep cutting away people's ability to communicate with each other, all that's going to be left is the gun. You know, when you're locked out of the ballot box, when it's to the point where left and right don't matter, to where, well, first of all, I mean, I'm kind of putting on my minarchist hat here, which means I believe there should be, you know, no government or little to no government. But since there is, let's pretend for a minute that that's moral and that it's okay for 51% of the people to treat 49% of the people as slaves, and for the elite to treat the entire class of non-elites as expendable. You know, even if you're a millionaire in America now, you're not anywhere near being elite. I've heard something to the effect of you're not really super rich until you've got $30 million. You know, basically until you're part of the 1% of the 1%. And then, yeah, there are 8 people who own half of the money in the world. That's not a conspiracy theory. I mean, that's something you hear on mainstream news when they're honest, which is rare. You know, I kind of like that the president, I don't like Trump, but he really is amusing me. And I really like that he's yelling at the press and calling them scoundrels and saying they're fake. Like, I don't think a president's ever done that uniformly. It's really amusing to me. And, you know, if he'd lump all the press in there and not just the press that disagrees with him, it'd be great. But I think it's a good start. I think people should not trust the press. So getting back to the synagogue shooting. So lately there's been this concerted effort that's not even hidden to demean people and push them into the shadows who disagree with what the mainstream media has decided is the right way, is the correct way, which is actually the left way, which is actually trusting huge government, asking for more and more government, more and more protection. You know, give up your guns, give up your cryptocurrency, give up your gold, give up your ability to do anything without a huge amount of oversight. Basically, give up your ability to start your own business, to the point where the internet, which was supposed to be and could have been the alternative to the mainstream media, has become the mainstream media, because you've got 4 or 5 companies controlling everything. You've got Facebook, Google, Twitter, Amazon. What else is there? What am I missing? Let me look at my bookmarks. And Biptunia.com. Those are the 5 companies that control the world. No, YouTube. Those people determine what is right and what is not. I saw a meme the other day, a little cartoon. It was funny. It was like Galileo looking through a telescope and discovering something and saying, oh my, I must tell someone about this. And he goes to the first person he sees, which is, of course, a monk, because he was, you know, back then, there wasn't really a private market for science in that sense, or a government market for science. And, you know, the monk could be the guy would be your boss when you're looking through the telescope. So he walks over to the monk and says, I have something that counters normal opinion. And the monk says, what? And you see what Galileo says, and it's kind of blurred out, like it's censored. But if you squint, you can see it says, the earth revolves around the sun, not the other way around. And the monk says, that violates community standards, which is kind of how I feel things have gotten, to where things that are true as well as things that are crazy are being pushed into the darkness. Now, here's the thing. if you believe that you're right, like let's say you're a leftist elite and you believe that you're right and that all the people that disagree with you from, you know, from neo-Nazis to Trump to, you know, small government conservatives to people like me are wrong. And if you believe, if you're a leftist elitist or one of their useful idiots running around, you know, which is the majority of, near majority of people, yelling, you know, this can't be seen. Think of the children. You know, if you want to act like Hitler and ban books, which is what really pushing people off the internet is, you know, you're going to create people who are going to shoot because that's all they're going to have left to do. You know, I think if you believe that everyone is evil who doesn't agree with you, I don't think you should kick them off the internet. I think you should have them just do their thing and keep an eye on them, you know, instead of having them pushed off into the corners, the dusty corners full of spiders where, you know, other spiders will whisper in their ear and amplify the crazy and the sounds and the it's time to shoot rhetoric. You don't want that. You don't want them pushed off. But they've done this. They have, you know, like... Teachers have lost jobs for not teachers have lost jobs in Canada for and risked jail or been jailed for refusing to address someone by whatever made up name or gender they decide to be that week or wearing a Halloween costume of Pocahontas or any number of things. I mean, there was actually a leftist teacher in Oregon, a professor. One of the good leftists, like back when leftists used to believe things like, I may not agree with you, sir, but I will fight for your right to say it. He was a professor at, I think it was Olympia, that college, that crazy college. I've actually spoken at that college when I was touring with my film DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And you should go look at the other things I've done. You should, I'll put my CV, my resume in the show notes on thefreedomfiends.com, or you can just Google Michael W. Dean. If you don't Google Michael Dean, you're going to get a lot of other people. It's a very common name, but in quotes, Michael W. Dean. You can find all the movies I've made, all the books I've written, all the everything. And that's the reason that I'm kind of moving away from radio right now and the commitment of doing this twice a week to, you know, maybe I'll do a podcast once a month. Because I've gotten to the point where I've spent a lot of my life telling people how to do things, like writing how-to books on film and music and when I should be making music, you know, and if there's people who are donating to me for doing this podcast, you know, feel free to stop donating, but I would encourage you to keep donating because I'm going to keep doing cool stuff. I'm going to keep doing Biptunia. I'm going to keep writing articles. I'm going to keep helping people here and there, but it's just kind of the point where a lot of people that I've helped have just kind of bit me in the butt and it's not worth it. And I can't really make money anymore writing how-to books because basically the leftists have locked me out of that. Like publishing, you know, mainstream publishing or tech publishing is controlled by leftists. And around the time I was really starting to kick butt with it and make a bunch of money at it in like 2006, 2007, I started making blog posts about like, hey, we bought a shotgun and it's cool and guns are good and people should be able to own them. And, you know, even something as benign as that, just those people quit returning my calls and they quit calling me. You know, that's how they do it. They largely too. A lot of the censorship now isn't crushing you like a bug. It's just not helping you anymore, you know, and leftists help leftists. They believe that they're better than everyone else. They're smarter than everyone else. A lot of them are like PhDs in things that are wrong. You know, that's what Nima Vedati and I, that's what I called it when I was talking to Nima on his show back in the day one time. People who are experts in things that are wrong. That was the name of a Freedom Fiends episode. If you want to Google that, Google it. Start page it. You know, startpage.com is an alternative to Google that doesn't harvest your organs. No, harvest your data. And it doesn't always have as many correct, perfect results as Google because it doesn't have the money of Google, but it does a pretty good job. So check that out, startpage.com. But so if someone's screaming that they don't like the status quo and they get kicked off Google, you know, Google pushes them down in the results. They get kicked off YouTube or just demonetized off YouTube. They get kicked off Facebook or they get pushed down in the results so no one can see them on Facebook unless they specifically look for them. Which is one of the tricks, because then they can say they're not quashing free speech. Oh, you're still on. You can still find you on Google on page 12 of the search results, where you used to be on page 1. But yeah, if you push those people into the dark where the spiders crawl, you know, a couple of them are going to have the spiders crawl up in the brain and say, you have nothing to lose. You've been minimized and ostracized and crushed into the corner. And a lot of people are just going to go shoot. It's going to be more and more common. I mean, and it's not just right wingers. If this guy even was a right winger, I think he said he did not vote for Trump. I read that somewhere. Who knows what's real these days? But no, that's the kind of thing that you know, the news gets together with Google and says, we pay you a lot of money for ad time. We need you to change your things. And also China is paying a lot of money right now to Google to create a censored internet for China. And a lot of the, you know, that many billion-dollar contract, trillion-dollar contract over years, a decade, involves, hey, we don't like that there's free speech in America. You have to do something about that. And in Europe, it's illegal to say things. Okay, the teacher, I never finished that one. The teacher in Oregon, there was this thing of like Black Lives Matter, I think it was, said, or some student group affiliated with them or related to them or believes the same things as them, said, all whites have to stay home from college tomorrow. No white teachers, no white students. And most people did it. Most people were bullied, you know, verbally into, or agreed with it. Like, oh, I have white guilt. I'm not going to work tomorrow. And didn't go in. But this one guy who's like, I'm dedicated to teaching. I'm white, but I've taught here forever. I have things to say. You know, I'll do a class and we'll talk about this and discuss it. And these people, these leftists, these uber leftists, and I delineate leftist from liberal. Liberals are just kind of going along for the ride, or they're the old style, like, yeah, they believe in free speech, like this teacher. Leftists are the people that want to kill, you know, want to destroy anyone who disagrees with them. You know, these people that find people they don't like, go contact the people they work for, go do anything they can to disrupt their life, get them kicked off PayPal. You know, that's another thing too, like getting people kicked, like definanced, that's going to lead to more shooting. It's just a fact. I'm not down with it. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the people that are doing that, but it's going to happen. And the leftists need to realize that. They need to realize that if they keep doing this, they're going to have these problems. And because people aren't going to just sit by and be pushed around, you know? I mean, that woman that shot up Google or YouTube, she was a far leftist. You know, they didn't really report that. They just said, person with gun. You know, they love it when it's a white male. When it's a Middle Eastern female, they're like, oh, this poor abused woman. Well, she got demonetized on YouTube. And, you know, she'd made the mistake of putting all her eggs in one basket of that being her only way to get by, because she was doing well with it. But you should diversify your assets and your eggs in your baskets always. Oh, I'm sure there's some wonk out there who's, you know, some people that haven't done much in their life who are going to say, oh, he's quitting his show because the market has decided that it's not worth doing. No, man, I never did this for money. I did this to spread a message. Some years I lost thousands of dollars doing this show and giving away mics and helping people build their shows. Some years I made money. I probably made a little money in 7 years overall, but, you know, probably worked out to 10 cents an hour, maybe. And I did it for years when I didn't make money. And there were years that I made money, and then I ended up losing money because I took the money I made and spent it on helping other people do Liberty stuff. Or doing projects like, you know, the Feeding the Homeless thing, where we bought things, you know, bought the MP3 players, filled them with fiends, and gave them away to homeless people. But I see a lot of meanness. I see a lot of cruelty, even from people who think they're righteous. It ain't true. Always. You got to look at yourself, man. I look at myself all the time, every day. Go, what can I do better? I say I'm sorry a lot to people. A lot of people don't. A lot of people never say I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry when I've harmed someone, when I've really done something to harm. I'm not talking about like, I was offended that you said the word, you know, that's them. That's not me. But, you know, when I actually do something that's selfish or short-sighted and I harm somebody, I say I'm sorry. And this is in this day and age where people are just all professional victims, you know, on the left and in Liberty and on the right, everywhere. That species exists everywhere where people want to be, you know, paid for having been harmed by things they imagine to have harmed them. Yeah. Get off that and worry about keeping your own side of the street clean. Don't worry so much about what other people do. And realize that while economics are a great way to describe all human interaction, they're not the be-all, end-all. A lot of great things have been done for amateur reasons. A lot of scientific discoveries have been done by people who never made money and never tried to make money. A lot of great music. A lot of my favorite music was made by people who never made any money at it or didn't make money for long at it. A lot of great art. You know, that's not the only measure of something. And it's kind of funny, too. I keep going back to, like, the people who scream this the loudest in liberty are either people who can't support themselves or people who are scamming other people. Or people who realize that just because something doesn't last forever and continue to make more money every day doesn't mean it was not a success. This show has been a great success. If for nothing else, I've had a lot of satisfaction from it. But a lot of people have gotten a lot from it. I've had people say they, you know, made major life decisions, like didn't go join the military to kill people because they heard this show. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a military. I'm saying that... The way it's done now with the occupation in every country in the world practically is not the way to defend yourself. It's a way to make enemies. Anyway, yeah, don't be so quick to judge other people, man. I know I'm being kind of judgy McJudgerson here, but there's a lot I've kind of held my tongue on because I was afraid of scaring people off from being popular on the radio. You know, now that I'm not going to be on the radio, I can say this stuff. I don't care. I just need me and mine, and not in a selfish way, but in a sensible, selfish way of like, I'm going to take care of what I want to do and my loved ones. And that's it. My loved one, my wife and my cats. It's pretty much who I care about and a few close friends. All right. Next order of business. This teacher who committed to teaching and just showed up at work, lost his job over it. I mean, he got death threats. He got leftists want to kill people, but they don't want to do it themselves. They want you starving in the streets, begging for mercy if you disagree with them. And that's just not going to end well. Yeah, they don't want to, some of them go out and punch people in the streets, but they do it hiding their face and scurrying in the darkness like rats after they do it. Man. See, the solution to all of this isn't left or right. The solution to all of this is really property rights and taking care of your own. I don't know how small of a government would be workable. I am in theory an anarcho-capitalist, or a voluntarist. It's someone who believes that everything should be done without the threat of force, you know, without the, we're going to take your property if you don't bake this cake, without the, you got to pay property taxes to send kids to a substandard school where teachers can't be fired, even if they molest kids or more commonly, even if they're just horrible teachers. You know, you got to pay that on your property tax, on your house that you own, even when you don't have kids. Just all the little things that pick at you. I really encourage people to look at all that as aggression, to look at it as somebody is making me do something I want to do, I don't want to do. I mean, that's really what government does. Like, you think about, I had a buddy who told me at one point that he started working for the TSA. And he was, you know, he was a guy who wasn't that smart. He wasn't really able to hold a better, you know, a good job. He could work as a dishwasher or something, but he'd been fired from a bunch of jobs where he'd gotten hired for being charismatic and talking his way into a job that he couldn't really do. And he finally joined he saw an ad on a pizza box that said, get medical benefits, you know, pick your own holiday out time, you know, plenty of pay, better than minimum wage for starting, you know, on a pizza box. He saw an ad on a pizza box. He believed it. He went and worked for the TSA, and he told me that, and I was just shocked. I was like, so you're basically molesting grandmothers. And he got mad at me, and, you know, I said, how do you sleep at night? And he's like, not well, you know. Basically, he doesn't like what he's doing. So the government always creates situations where there's two people who'd rather be doing something else, where there's a person being molested by a government employee, literally by stuff that, you know, if you did to somebody on the street, you'd go to prison for 5, 10, 20 years. To where feeling up your wife in front of you, feeling you up, you know, basically stuff that only a doctor should do and only with your permission because you want to be checked out like that. And in public, in front of everybody, I mean, this is stuff that the founders would not have put up with. And I'm not a fan of all the founders. I'm not a, I don't believe the Constitution is a sacred document, but I believe it's the law of the land. And I think that a lot of voluntarists pretend it doesn't exist because they think it shouldn't. They think everyone should just be nice and keep to their own property rights. And people aren't just nice. I think if the government was eliminated, there'd be a lot of blood in the streets before it evened out and became a libertarian paradise. And I think a libertarian paradise would be pretty noisy. Let's put it that way. So my friend, my ex-friend now, because, you know, he didn't like that I didn't like that he was molesting grandmothers. My ex-friend that worked for the TSA was, you know, he went to work every day and touched the genitals of strangers that didn't want to be touched. So that's what the government does, is creates a situation where there's two people or more people doing something they don't want to do, and they both have to do it. That's government. And you can say, but what about the bombers? Well, first of all, a large part of the reason that there are so many bombers is because the United States has been so active in pushing around other countries forever, mainly over oil. And they've just gotten so used to it that it's so profitable. And they like, it's not only profitable to have the oil, it's profitable to have the other resources in the country. Like, that's why the U.S. is, and other countries are going into Africa again and becoming very interested in Africa, because there are things there that are needed for electronics, like your phone and your computer, et cetera, have things that are more valuable than diamonds. And people are actually realizing that diamonds are very common on planet Earth and not really worth much, and artificially inflated by a cartel of a couple companies for about 100 years. And all these ads that convince you you're not a good man if you don't spend 4 months' salary on a piece of carbon. It's not about the rock, man. My wife and I have been together for 11 years, married for 10, and I gave her a wedding ring that's like a quarter of a carat, tiny wedding ring that was my mother's engagement ring. My wife loves it because it represents what we have. And, you know, my sister got married to someone she divorced after a few years. He had a rich family, and he gave her like a, you know, $20,000 diamond. To her credit, she gave it back to them when they got divorced. He didn't even want it. She's like, I don't want it. And she was poor at the time, and she gave it back. I think that's, you know, that's a good leftist. back when leftists were good. Maybe that'll be the name of the episode. No, I think this episode's going to be called, you know, Michael Dean's Mic Drop. This is where I go, I drop the mic. I'm out. You know, which is, I think the thing of dropping the mic means you gave such a good performance that you'll never need the microphone again. Like, it's the performance of your lifetime. To end your performance, you drop the mic because it's no longer needed and you don't care if you heard it. It's cute to do when it's your mic, but people usually do it with other people's mics. I've actually seen at open mics, like a sign backstage, like, you know, if you drop the mic, you're banned forever. Yeah, that's another thing that I'm really sick of left libertarians parroting. Is this idea that, oh, well, Google, YouTube, Facebook, they're private companies. That's private property. They have the right to kick you off. I used to think that was true until they became the internet, until they used government guns and government patents and government trademarks and government lobbyists to push their way to where, for many people, Facebook is the internet. Google is the internet. Google also makes military robots that, you know, will be what they send to take your guns away. Have you seen those things? They're doing like parkour now, man. Those robot dogs are jumping off walls. They're unstoppable. You built that. You built that every time you did a Google search and someone paid for ads for it. So I think that if you believe that you have the right to free speech, you know, which applies to basically the government, you know, other people can kick you off of their site. Like if you post crap on my face, on my blog, you know, that I run, I can delete you. That's not stopping your free speech. Free speech is stopping you from speaking largely, you know, to the world. And I think at this point where four or five companies control what the world sees and are the internet to most people, I think it's the government. I think you could really make a strong argument for it's the government violating your free speech when Facebook kicks you off or pushes you into the corner with the spiders. I'm really, really, really sick of libertarians parroting that thing. And they always say it like they made it up. They're so clever. They're so, oh, you know, oh, it's okay. Facebook can take you off. It's a private company. You know, it's property rights. If you're a libertarian, you understand that. You know, and they sound like leftists. They sound like liberals and Democrats and, you know, the people that want to take your guns away. They sound as sure of themselves. Yeah, I think that, what is it they say? The man who claims to be a wise man truly is doesn't know. I'm paraphrasing Kansas and Plato and probably the Bible. But yeah, I'm just sick of newly minted libertarians or people who haven't absorbed any new thoughts in liberty since they first discovered it, chirping loudly that they're right and the rest of the world's wrong. Because they're not always right and they're often wrong. And they're so smug about it. It's disgusting, man. You know who you are. All right, the rest of you are cool, though. You know who you are. Even the ones that believe that stuff, that aren't that smug about it, I can stand. And the people that believe with me 100%, believe what I believe 100%, but are really smug about it, I can't stand either. You know? Be teachable, people. That's what I'm saying. Don't think you have it all figured out. The older you get and the more you know, if you're evolving, the more you know you don't know it all. That's what I'll say. I used to think that was true until they became the internet. Until they used government guns and government. Also, I don't think you should be so quick to jump in and say, when people say, you know, complain that Facebook is eradicating people's ability to talk to each other, you know, is deleting pages like they did with me that I helped build up punk rock libertarians that had 190,000 followers. You know, that they just erased that one day. Like, basically, we who made that site, I got in later than others, but Matt and everybody who helped build that site, you know, the six or seven people that built it up, like, we helped build up Facebook stock in a tiny way. But collectively, everyone that they threw off, or aggregately, everyone that they threw off all at once, all the libertarian and conservative pages, they just, you know, threw down the memory hole like 1984 overnight. It was really sleazy. We helped, all these sites helped build their stock, helped build page views so they could sell ads, and then they threw us off. And they did not throw off controversial pages that buy ads. A lot of it was about money. But when I or millions of other people complain on Facebook and Google and Twitter that Facebook, Google, and Twitter are censoring people, left libertarians always jump in and chirp loudly as if they made it up. Well, it's a private company. They can do what they want. So let's say you are right and you can't buy my argument that they're part of the government at this point because they cooperate with them and supplicate, you know, submit to them and bully them and pay them to do their bidding. Let's say you're right. Let's say they're not the government. I can still complain and you still shouldn't yell at me for complaining. If you don't agree that it's worth complaining about, there's something wrong with you. Children. Part of the reason that I'm kind of divesting from doing this show is, first of all, when I started doing the show in 2011, and I've been podcasting almost daily or at least several times a week since 2006. I had other podcasts before that. They were not political. They were kind of like, this show is when there's not politics. You know, which is more and more because I'm just sick of talking about politics. But when I started doing it, there weren't many podcasts. And really, this whole time, there weren't that many podcasts in 2006. In 2011, there weren't that many Liberty podcasts. You could count them on one or two hands. The Freedom Fiends recently got voted like number 15 in the top 50 libertarian podcasts. So even though we're a radio show, but we're also a podcast and we're going to stay a podcast occasionally. So bookmark freedomfiends.com. I don't know if I'm going to keep the Freedom Fiends app going. The company was sold to another company that I make my apps through and do the hosting and or get things on Google, Google Play. And it's getting harder to keep stuff on Google Play because they're cracking down on everything. So I don't know if that's still going to be around. So bookmark freedomfiends.com, bookmark biptunia.com. That's pretty much it. I have other podcasts, other things, but that's pretty much the ones that matter. Freedom Fiends, and especially now, biptunia.com. But there really wasn't that much going on. And actually, I've helped a lot of the podcasts start since 2011 because I've always been into audio. I'm 54. I've been going into recording studios with bands since I was about 19. And, you know, have made like 20 records in my life, one on a major label, bunch on independent labels, bunch I put out myself You know, so I know my way around a recording studio. I would always ask the engineer questions. I observed, I watched what they were doing. I figured it out. When it became possible to do home recording in 1997, you know, without spending a lot of money and doing it on your computer, I bought some gear that was more expensive than what I have now and not nearly as good because the free market has helped make it cheaper. And then, you know, recorded some stuff at home, put out a CD of my own back when CDs were a thing in like 1999. And then started doing podcasting shortly after it existed. It started in 2004. I think iTunes Store that took podcasts went up in 2005. I started in 2006. So by the time I had my wife and I had our Liberty makeovers, our, you know, blinding white light realizations of seeing the truth, I already really knew how to record a podcast really well and with good audio for not much money. So I did a lot of hand-holding with people, teaching them how to do it. A lot of the top 50 that are around now, I either bought them their equipment out of my pocket or taught them how to do it or both. That's another site you should bookmark of mine is creamyradioaudio.com. You can just Google it if you can't remember the exact. Creamy Radio Audio is my one-page website with everything I know, basically, about recording inexpensively, you know. So I'm leaving doing radio, so, you know, I'm cutting off the head of my own radio show, so, you know, Seven should grow in its place. Actually, I've already started a lot of people on their way, a lot more than Seven. My friend calls it my giving away and lending of equipment, the gear blockchain. Like, it's an endless chain and things get shuffled around and somebody retires and I'm like, hey, you know, I gave you that thing. You can keep it if you want, but if you're really retired, you want to send it to this other guy, you know, and they do. Often, you know, who wants to keep something they're not going to use when someone else can use it? So the equipment blockchain, I think the equipment blockchain has ended for me. I've given away so many thousands of dollars worth of equipment, often to people that don't talk to me anymore because, because I don't suffer fools. You know, when people, like, I don't go out of my way to tell people they're idiots, which is why I'm not an alpha. But when people that I'm dealing with act like the idiots or the fool or don't honor their commitments is the main thing, you know, I call them out on it. And people don't like to be told they're wrong. They really don't. But I'm kind of sick of a few things in Liberty. And you know what really grinds my gears? So I guess I want to start this rant with saying what I'm not. So I am not alt-right. I am what some people would probably call alt-light, and barely that. Like, I barely care about politics, you know? But I really hate communism. I really hate leftist agendas. I really hate the march to take away all the rights. And I believe that in a perfect libertarian world where there was no public property and everything was private property, anyone would be welcome to come to a country if they could work. I mean, if they couldn't work, they'd starve because there wouldn't be welfare and people wouldn't suffer fools being criminals. A lot more people be armed and criminals just wouldn't live very long. You know, that'd be the solution. But so what I'm really sick of is libertarians that screech things as if they know they're right when they really don't know and they're really just parroting. And one of the things I'm really sick of, and I've actually lost friends over this, I think that a really good friend of mine who used to do a podcast, who has retired now, doesn't really talk to me much anymore. And I think it's because of this. And it kind of saddens me. But basically, most libertarians go around paraphrasing Murray Rothbard, paraphrasing the greats of liberty. And it's often many generations removed. But the messages are so simple that, you know, They're just paraphrasing what Ian Freeman said recently, or I said, or Nima said, or, you know, some idiot like Larkin Rose said, or some idiot like Adam Kokesh said. You know, Adam Kokesh, actually, I looked in my spam folder the other day, and there was an email from his campaign manager saying, Adam Kokesh wants to debate you. And of course, it went into my spam, because I think he sent it to probably, you know, all the podcasts with, you know, more than 1,000 listeners or something, and definitely all the radio shows that might have them. And I'm sure, since I'm not going to make my last show arguing with an idiot, I'm sure he'll say he won. Oh, I challenged him to a duel and he chickened out. I wouldn't have even saw this if I hadn't looked in my trash folder, my spam folder. It was spam. You know, I'm not going to waste my last show arguing, suffering a fool, basically. Because really, like, when people say they want to debate now, that's a common tactic. I think another idiot, Stefan Molyneux, really pioneered this of, and like everyone who's ever listened to him does this too. Like, he'll say, well, if you don't like it, come on my show, call in and debate me. And then, you know, he won't take your call when you come in, or he'll talk at you, not let you get a word in edgewise, use a bunch of logical fallacies, and then, hang up on you and say, well, I'm not going to listen to this, you know? And, that's considered discourse, you know? And everybody who sits around pointing out logical fallacies is almost always these days guilty of most of the ones they're pointing at. I think that there's a lot of sociopaths in Liberty, and I think it's because sociopathy teaches someone that they're right, everyone else is wrong, the rules don't apply to them. Libertarianism also teaches that, but it doesn't teach that the rules don't apply to you. It teaches that the nanny laws shouldn't apply to you. And I think sociopaths don't see the difference. And also, sociopaths have been told their whole life that everything they're doing is wrong, because it is, or that it's selfish. And libertarianism says selfishness is a virtue. And it's a different kind of selfishness. You know, it's not the crush people for getting in your way kind of selfishness. But a lot of libertarians who are sociopaths think that. But I'm really sick of what passes for discourse in libertarianism, which is largely memes and thinking the person is smarter than everyone else. Like, oh, well, you're wrong. I mean, open borders are only natural. Anyone who believes that borders should be closed is horrible and is a fascist. Like, libertarians believe that now, a lot of left libertarians. And I don't think I'd call myself a right libertarian. I mean, this is going to make people go, I knew it. I knew I should have. I've hated Michael Dean for the right reasons. But here's what I'm going to say is I'm not upset that Trump is trying to eliminate birthright citizenship. You know, because like I said, if there weren't a government, if there weren't a welfare state, if there weren't so much public property where anyone could do things and it does infringe on you, on your private property, I'd be for open immigration. But since that's not the case, I'm not for it. That's heresy to left libertarians. They can't stand it. Their heads explode, and it's because they've brainwashed themselves listening to the same 10 podcasts that repeat the same things over and over. Actually, you know, Murray Rothbard wasn't that into the idea of open immigration. Go listen to some of the Mises Institute's recordings of what he said, you know. And libertarians often, left libertarians especially, don't delineate between we are in a world that has a government and what they think the world should be. Like, they want to act now as if the world should be the way they want it. They're kind of like sovereign citizens in that way. Like, sovereign citizens believe that there are magical words that keep the government at bay. There are not. The only magic words are, am I being detained? Am I free to go? And then I want to speak to a lawyer. Like, those are the only really things to say that give you that retain any rights for you. And now, like, there was a Supreme Court decision, so you have to, like, over and over and over say, I don't want, you know, I invoke my right to silence. You have to say it over and over, because what they do now, if you're in interrogation, is, you know, you say, I want to speak to a lawyer, and they're like, yeah, okay. And then they go out and come back and bring you some food because you're hungry, and let you use the bathroom because they've been, you know, controlling your bladder like a kindergarten teacher by not letting you go to the bathroom. Then they finally let you do that, maybe let you have a cigarette if you smoke. And then they say, okay, I know you don't want a lawyer, but I'm trying to figure out, like, why was the, you know, they'll ask you some question that sounds like it can only exonerate you. And they'll use, like, they can use that even after you said, I don't want to speak to you till I have an attorney. If you, you know, an hour later, if you answer something to them, they can use that. So really the only real words that you can use, magic words to keep the government at bay, are, am I being detained? Then am I free to go? If you're not being detained, and then if you are being detained, am I under arrest? And, you know, if you are being detained and you're not under arrest, what is your probable cause? And then, you know, if you are under arrest, I want to speak to an attorney. And there's a lot of variations on that. There's a lot of ways it can go. It doesn't automatically make things better, but in the long run, it probably does. So sovereign citizens believe there are magic words to keep away the government. And they believe that because they probably would in a free environment, in a libertarian paradise, they would be able to have a, you know, a citizen's court and command someone to go there if they wronged people. And, you know, if the person refused, they'd be drummed out of society. And if then they kept doing it, they'd probably be killed at some point, you know, by a 7-year-old who's armed and sticking up for their parents. Libertarians often believe now, left libertarians especially, which is most of them, believe that because in an ideal society, there wouldn't be any borders, there'd only be private property, that they should open the hordes, open the gates and throw open their legs to the hordes, basically. And what that has resulted with in Europe is like a lot more rapes, a lot more property crime, welfare rolls being overwhelmed. A lot of people who, you know, libertarians will give you this, oh, it's good for the economy. It's, you know, they're workers. They just want to work. Well, some of them do want to work. Some of them want to do jobs Americans won't do. That's true. Largely in 5 or 10 years, all manual labor is going to be done by robots. That's starting now in America. A lot of jobs, a lot of manufacturing is going to leave China and come back to America because it's going to be done by robots in America, because it's about the same price to run robots here as it is in China. Yeah, they're going to bring the jobs back to America, but there aren't going to be any people doing them. And you're going to end up with an overwhelming third world country amount of very poor, very angry, very bitter, very entitled people screaming in the streets for what you have. And the government's going to point at them and say, oh, that guy over there that owns a house, he's the one that has your money. You know, they're going to use them against you. Bringing this caravan that's coming in, I don't know if Soros is in charge of it, but somebody's in charge of it. Somebody's handing out money to them. There's video of that. But more than that, Mexico offered them to let them stay and, you know, give them housing and help them get jobs and feed them. And they're like, no, we're going to America. So, you know, there's probably more opportunities in America historically for immigrants in the past 100 years, but there's a lot more. Mexico was offering them a lot more than they have in Honduras. Honduras is a place where, you know, pretty young women are routinely kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. You know, strong young men are routinely forced into or offers you can't refuse from economic, you know, offers you can't refuse from cartels or the government, to the point where, you know, Mexico's a big step up from Honduras, and the Mexican government offered them, you know, refuge. And I don't even think any of them took it. I think somebody is controlling them saying, no, go to America. You must. And I think the idea is for them to show up on election day or a couple days before. I think it's going to backfire for the leftists, though. I really do. I think it's going to win votes for the Republicans. I don't vote. If you vote, I'm fine with it. That's another thing. Libertarians just scream at people like, you vote. It's horrible. I mean, I make memes about it. I made a t-shirt that says I farted that looks like the I voted sticker. You can find it on YouTube or on Amazon. It's a good t-shirt. Look at my other shirts there too. Wormshirts.com. Worm like the thing that crawls on the ground, and shirts like what you wear. Wormshirts.com. It goes to my Amazon page with all my shirts on it. So yeah, I'm really sick of having been a pioneer in the new generation of liberty, you know, in the internet age of liberty, I'd say, you know, being one of the first, regularly making podcasts, regularly doing activism. I mean, I've done a lot of things that people don't even know about. I raised a bunch of money and paid a couple $100 out of my pocket to buy MP3 players. And I sat around loading them all with Freedom Fiends episodes, and had some friends in Philly go and hand them out to homeless people and the working poor on the street. Like, here, have this, you know, and there's probably enough batteries in there for, you know, I charged them all too with USB. There's enough batteries in them to last, you know, 4 or 5 episodes and then die. And, you know, I do things like that all the time. And so you should probably keep donating if you're donating. If you would like to donate for me to keep doing cool stuff, whatever I feel like doing with your money, you should go donate. Go to patreon.com/fiend. Is it fiends or fiend? Let me look it up. Patreon. Yeah, man. So, and I've also helped a lot of people who've kind of burned me too, you know, done a lot for people. Hey, if anybody wants any cool stickers, bumper stickers, Freedom Fiends bumper stickers, write me at Bipcoin. That's Bipcoin, Bravo India Papa Coin, named after a cryptocurrency I'm no longer involved with, but I like the email. It's easy to remember. Bipcoin at gmail.com. That's Bipcoin bip, like you bet your sweet bippy, bipcoin@gmail.com, and send me an address and I'll send you some bumper stickers. I have bumper stickers that say Biptunia, electronic music that doesn't suck, and they're pretty cool looking. And yeah, man, so what is my... Let's see, who unfunded me this week? You know, I pretty much go on the internet now. I posted the other day on Facebook, like I just got up, I was having my coffee. There were like, you know, 50 alerts for me on Facebook, and 10 of them were people I actually wanted to hear from. And it's, I posted on Facebook, all right, turn on the internet. Let's see who hates me today, you know, because that's just how it is. It's not just me. I mean, that's, everybody has haters now because the internet... The internet's amazing because it allows you to meet people and talk to them that you'd never meet otherwise all over the world. That's the great thing about the internet. It's also the horrible thing about the internet. So, yeah, man. Yep. Oh, it's patreon.com/fiend. Foxtrot Echo Echo November Fiend. Yep. You should go there. You should donate. I'm making $158 a month on there now. I'd like to make more because that's barely my operating budget. It's really... My operating budget's a lot more than that. I just bought a bunch of equipment. I just bought a $380 chair, which sounds extravagant, but, you know, I'm disabled. I pretty much live in my computer chair. I do all my great things in the world and touch the world in special places from my computer chair. I get back pain. So, yeah, I don't know why I'm justifying that I spent my money. But, yeah, there's some people be like, man, that's a lot. It's a Vertigear S-Line SL5000 Racing Series chair. It looks like a... What are those chairs in cars, DJ? What are those chairs in cars, the high-end chairs? Yeah, it looks like a Recaro car seat. You know, those car seats that cost $6,000 or something? They actually... I think what happened was Recaro made an office chair, and it looked like a Recaro car chair. And now the gamer chairs... which are for people who basically live in their seat. You know, they make them look like racing chairs, but some of them are horrible. Like the ones that are like $100, but the ones you spend a little more than that, you can get, this is supposed to be one of the most comfortable chairs there is. I read a lot of reviews, and it's like, I had to find one that's will work for someone who's short and fat. There's a lot of chairs for people that are tall and fat, but I'm short and plump and luscious. And it's, you know, hard to find a chair for a guy who's 5'3". Kitties are fighting behind me. So, I mean, it's not just immigration. It's a whole bunch of things. It's a whole bunch of parroting things. It's a whole bunch of people who lecture other people on economics without being able to support themselves. It's people who will dogpile on somebody for no reason. Like an example is some left libertarians I know that I used to be friends with. Some of them used to be on the show, you know, who didn't work out for some reason. There was some thread they had where they were complaining about me, about my beliefs. And somebody from who used to torment me online years ago, back when it was easier, back when I'd listen, somebody who was a big liar, big fat liar, jumped on and said, oh, did you know that Michael Dean used to run a racist website, you know, as a secret sub forum on freedomfiends.com? And, they all believed it. They all believed it. It's not true. It's a guy who used to go out of his way to mess with me because he didn't like me. Because I got attention and did things in life that he wanted to do that nobody paid attention to him for. And a friend of mine, one of my non-white friends, yes, I have non-white friends, who helped me clean up the mess of this guy spamming racial stuff on my website, jumped in and said, no, Michael didn't do that. It's not true. And it's somebody these other leftists respected. And they still kind of didn't really believe me. I don't know. They were kind of like, I don't know. Maybe some stranger said that he did this. I didn't do that. I don't have any racial beef. My beef is all communism. You know, basically it's all trying to tell people what to do. And I feel that, I mean, the border thing is just a tiny example. It's the thing that's in the news right now. And it's the thing that's going to decide this election coming up, or this election that just passed. If you're listening to this 2 weeks from now. You know, it's not telling people what to do, not telling them to come in and overwhelm an area. And left libertarians just have this magical thinking of, oh, well, you know, I don't own any property, but They're kind of like communists in a different way, a lot of them, because a lot of communists basically believe wealth should be redistributed because the communists don't have any wealth, or they're billionaires. There's a few billionaire communists. There's a few in China, but I think the ones in China are just toeing the party line. And then there's people like George Soros, who's being right now being critical of George Soros is considered anti-Semitic because he's Jewish. Like, Jew isn't the main thing of what he is. He's a scoundrel, man. Jews down the list. I would say the only thing Jewish about him that matters is that when he was a little kid, he helped his dad, you know, steal a bunch of things from a bunch of Jews. His dad was a Jewish collaborator with the Nazis. And when George Soros was little, he used to go along smiling with glee, apparently, from what I've heard, with his dad to go take houses away from other Jews. So, yeah, there's just so much hypocrisy. There's just so much autistic screeching. There's just so much parroting and paraphrasing and lecturing people on things that people don't know how to do themselves. I'm just tired of it, man. I'm not, like, quitting liberty. I think I kind of just quit returning its calls, the libertarian community. I think I quit returning its calls 6 months ago. You know, kind of like how the leftists used to just quit returning my calls when I started talking about gun rights in a favorable way. I think I've kind of stopped returning the calls of a lot of leftists, left libertarians. And there's still left libertarians I like, you know. There's still some people like who fit that description on the Freedom Fiends who will loudly declare why the borders just keep coming up because it's in the news. But all the other things that they claim that they're just paraphrasing Ian Freeman. I like Ian Freeman too, but he, yeah, I'm waiting for Ian Freeman to like welcome the horde to come all stay at his house. He probably will. He will. That's my prediction. I still like him. I still play him on cussfreeliberty.com. Oh, that's something to check out that I'm probably still going to do after the Freedom Fiends are a distant memory, at least on radio. I run this streaming thing called Cuss Free Liberty. And it's funny too, like I cuss a lot, but I don't cuss on radio. And I made Cuss Free Liberty so people could play it on radio. And there are people who play it on radio. It's a streaming network like LRN, but it's not left libertarian and it's not cuss-tastic like Free Talk. Well, Free Talk Live doesn't cuss because they're on the radio, but everything else on there cusses. And I want to make something to bring people to liberty who aren't like that. And I pay $200 a year for the hosting for the streaming server for that out of my pocket. Never get any credit for that. I've had like four people thank me for that, but there's a lot of people listening to it. I'm kind of sick of the thankless job of treating liberty the way that evangelists treat religion. You know, like, have you heard the word of Mises? I'm kind of sick of that. I'm kind of sick of, I think it's Mises was the one that wasn't that into open borders, but go listen to those guys anyway before you don't paraphrase the people who paraphrase the people who paraphrase the people who paraphrase the people who paraphrase Murray Rothbard and Mises. Go listen to Rothbard and Mises. There's a lot of stuff on the Mises Institute of both of them, of, you know, people with good voices reading their stuff. There's not that many recordings of them. And if they are, they're bad audio. And we all know that bad audio is a hate crime, but yeah. So I'm just sick of basically adult children screaming that they're right when they're really not. And I'm sick of people lecturing me on economics when they can't support themselves. I'm sick of people telling me that everything that mainstream doctors do is wrong and I should take colloidal uranium enemas instead, or whatever people scream whenever I mention anything about health. I just want to kind of take care of me and my own, you know, and stop doing favors for everyone else. And I have really bent over backwards every day since 2011 to bring the word to people, to bring good words to people, to bring thoughts and ideas to people. Paid out of my pocket a lot, suffered for my art, as the leftists would say. But no, really, like, I've done it to help everybody else, and I haven't really helped me that much. And I've been through health issues, nearly died, have lung issues still, getting better slowly, but you know, basically largely brought on myself, largely from chain smoking, which a lot of it I did in front of a microphone. I'm not blaming my listeners for my health decisions, but you know, it kept me going. That and coffee. Still drink coffee. Don't smoke anymore. But yeah, man, the people I talk to know I love them, know I like them, know I dig them. Anybody else is offended by this? Well, you won't have to hear me on the radio anymore. So there's that. So you know what really grinds my gears? As Peter would say on Family Guy. So I was talking more about like how libertarians have disappointed me. Yeah, they just act like they know everything that's right. They act like they're saying things they invented and they're really just paraphrasing other people. I like some of you, and you know who you are. The people who don't suffer fools and don't say, yes, please. Thousands of war-age young men who with no skills, please come to my country. Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's so weird how people just parrot things. They don't think. And I'm kind of disappointed and kind of sad with that. I'm also just kind of burnt out on... I mean, I've had a good run. I've really enjoyed this. We're still on 19 stations. I've had a good run with it. I've enjoyed it. I've liked talking. I've gotten my message into space, whatever my message is. You know, we're on a station. It's 93,000 watts. We're broadcasting into space. I'm going to run this show for 2 weeks, two weekends. And then, you know, as the last one's running, I'm going to email everybody and say, hey, we're done. We're done. Yep. But, the, you know, GCN is welcome to keep running our back shows. I'm fine with that, replays until they can find something else. And, you know, I'm going to give them notice if I, you know, need to find more replays to play. I'll dig up some good ones for them. But yeah, so I'm just kind of tired of screeching autistic, and I'm autistic, so I can say this, I'm screeching libertarian autism of, borders are bad, Trump bad, Nancy Pelosi bad. They're all bad, all politicians are bad, but some are more bad than others. You know, Nancy Pelosi would have taken, you know, Hillary, same thing. Those two, they would have taken your guns away day one. They would, or at least by now, you know, definitely. They would have done an executive order and outlawed the Second Amendment. And then you would have seen blood in the streets. Because there's a lot of people who aren't just going to hand them over. And yeah, so I think I'm done, man. I think I'm done. I'll make a longer episode out of this. Play it twice or something. But it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. If people want to contact me, I'm on Facebook. Michael Feen. Michael F-E-E-N. It's my professional name. If you want to contact me on the internet, Bipcoin. Bravo India Papa. Coin, bipcoin at gmail.com. If you want to look at my other sites, freedomfiends.com, this site, biptunia.com. And if you want to start your own show to replace mine, creamyradioaudio.com. Thank you. It's been an honor to yak in your ears. And for people who listened, I'm honored, man. Just thank you for thinking I had things worth to say. I know I have things worth to say, but it's hard in this world with, you know, what is it? 6 billion? 8 billion? I think it was 6 billion people when I started the show, and I think it's about 8 billion now almost. So, you know, it's going up. So the message is getting diluted. Everyone's a star. Everyone's got their 15 minutes. Mine aren't up. My 15 minutes are getting stretched out over a lifetime. So I'm going to keep doing cool stuff. But check out Biptunia. Check out my new Zen harmonic music, my microtonal music, my weird synth rock that does not suck. And I'll see you on the flip side. I'm not gone. I'm not disappearing. You can still contact me if you want. All right. Thanks. Freedom. Freedom Fiends out. Worms.